of 2019, if it were a colour. And this is what they say. It evokes feelings of sociableness and spirit. The playful, effervescent colour represents the fusion of modern life transcending across all ages and genders. You got that, didn't you? I don't know if I'd pick a kind of coral sea colour myself. It feels to me like this has been a very tumultuous year. Maybe you have a short memory. Maybe 2018 was as tumultuous as 2019. But at a personal level, at a global level, it seems like I'd say words like we're in trouble, climate change, economy, unstable governments, they all seem fairly accurate summaries of the year. The Oxford word of the year says is this. So they thought of, supposedly it's a word, but I'll give it to you. The word is climate emergency. We need to tell the Oxford Dictionary it's actually two words. But that was their summary. Their summary of the year was climate emergency. The Australian Macquarie Dictionary summary was robo-debt. That's what they thought we took away from the year. But it does feel like an anxious year. I'd love to know from the English in the room how the Brexit is going and how you feel about the turnover of your governments. But there were some good things. The Duchess of Sussex, she gave birth to a baby boy, Archie Harrison Mountbatten Windsor. Wow, that's a lot of names. There's the 30th anniversary of the fall this year of the Berlin Wall. It's the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. I was fascinated to see we had a solar and lunar eclipse in one year. Being a techno-geeky guy. The most liked Instagram post was this. Achieving 54 million likes, making it the most liked post of all time. It's a picture of an egg. And it has a ridiculous amount of followers. This egg has 7.6 million followers. Instagrammers, front couple of rows, are you following this egg? Kate is following this egg. Good on you, Kate. So 2019, be something maybe you could talk about over coffee at the back later today, but how you feel about 2019, how do you feel about 2020? If there's been some sense of anxiety and concern, how do you feel about 2020? What's your hope for 2020? Well, this morning I want to spend a little bit of time. If you were here Christmas Day, we talked about Mary's hope because of Jesus coming into the world, this child that she was giving birth to. And there were three things that we named in terms of Mary's hope in her song. And the first one is that God is over us, which is this table here. And she says things like, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. For Mary, God getting involved in the world in Jesus was a reminder that God has power, has might, is a warrior, especially against those who are evil. So on this table, we have a not-so-fearsome sword and a bow, to remind us that God is a warrior. But it's a strange kind of warrior too, who bears a crown of thorns. So I've put that on this table, and I'm going to get us to use this in a minute. So God is over us was the first thing that we said that Mary sung about in terms of hope that God brings. The next thing she sings about is God is for us. And she says things like, his mercy extends to those who fear him. He has filled the hungry with good things. That God's not just a warrior who's out to defeat the proud and the rich, but he's actually also has mercy for the vulnerable, the people who are hungry, the people who are in need. That God does provide bread and corn and harvest for them. Put this cup here because it reminds us as well that in Jesus we see his provision of standing for us in our vulnerability. The cup reminds us of the table of his blood given for us. But Mary sung about that God is for us. And the last thing I spoke of was that God is with us. It's interesting for me, when I'd heard God is with us, it's a name, if you like, a title that's given to Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. And when I'd first heard that, I thought that God was a God of care and comfort, that he'd be close to us when we're in trouble. A few weeks ago, I had a bike accident and I had to stay in hospital for a night. And my wife came and sat with me, which is nice of her, isn't it? She was with me. Let's be honest, she didn't have any role in terms of attending to all the different things I'd broken. That was the doctor's and the nurse's job, but her presence was important. In fact, I did not want a nurse to sit with me. I wanted my wife to sit with me. And sometimes I've thought of God being with us in that same kind of way, that when we're going through challenge and trial, that God is with us. His presence is comforting to us. But that's not what Mary sung about when she sings about God is with us. She sings about that I'm the Lord's servant, and he's been humble. He's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. She sings about how that because God is with her, he has given her a job to do, and he's with her to help her do what he has purposed for her to do. But this, in fact, is not just God's care and comfort for when we're going through trouble, but when God has something for us to do, hence the hammer and the work gloves, God is with us, and he'll give us what we need to make that happen. A bit different. Talk a little bit about that later on. So we've got these three tables, and you've got a little heart. You got a little heart? I wonder, as you think about 2020 and what your hopes are for 2020, how do you hope that God will be over us? I don't know about you, but I feel like I live in a world that's pretty unjust. Pretty, frankly, evil. And what I keep noticing is even good-hearted people who try to do the right thing still get smashed by people who do the wrong thing. I don't have to go overseas to see that. I hear it in people's stories in this church, in your day jobs, in your businesses, and all the things that you're trying to do that is right and good, other people take advantage of you. And I don't know about you, but you might have some prayers about how God might be over us, bring justice into our world, into your life. How do you want God to be a mighty warrior and fight for us? Would you have a prayer for that? Would you have a prayer for God for us? That God would show mercy for those who need mercy and compassion for those who need compassion. Do you know people in your life who are under great duress and need the kindness of God? Do you know people in our society and in our world that need God to feed them and maybe literally feed them? Or provide them health and well-being because they don't have it. If you were going to write a prayer, what would you write for 2020? Who would you write it for? God, that you're for us. And then over here, that God is with us. What would you hope God might do through you in 2020? You'll do lots of things. What's your hope in terms of your service towards God? How would you like your time and talent and treasure to be used in the purposes of God? And that God might be with you in those exploits that you would hope to undertake. What prayer might you write there? So these are prayers of justice, prayers of mercy, and prayers of service. And you've got a little heart there. And we're going to give you some time to write a prayer on that heart and then to share that prayer with somebody near you. And at least one of those people could pray. And then if you feel done, bring your prayer down and put it in the bucket. Is this a justice prayer? Put it in this bucket. Is this a mercy prayer? Put it in that bucket. Is this a service prayer? Put it in that bucket. Does that make sense? There are more hearts and more pencils down here, because there's no guarantee, maybe, that those pencils are going to work. But I'm going to pray, and then if the ushers could come and just walk up and down with the pencils and help people, that would be great. I want you to think about, what prayer would you write for 2020? Is it a prayer of justice? Is it a prayer of mercy? Is it a prayer of service? Let me pray. Our Father, as we do this simple little exercise and cast forward into 2020 with hope, we want to remember that you're over us, you're for us, and you're with us. So as we write these prayers, they are not vanities. They're not empty words, because we are talking to the God of all hope. So, Lord, we write these prayers with faith in you. Stir our hearts, especially to pray for others, not just ourselves. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I found this, it may surprise you, but a new insight. So I said on Christmas Day that Mary knew she could hope in God, but she learns that God has hope in her. But God chooses her to take a really vital role in the world's rescue, giving birth to his son Jesus. When I was a young guy, my dad was a mechanic, and I always felt bigger when my dad asked me to do jobs for him. Son, could you go down to pick up this car? I wasn't 14 at the time, so I had a driver's license, but here's this car. I want you to pull that engine out. I'll leave you to it. I always felt like, wow, Dad really thinks I can do this. I don't know if you've ever had that feeling, but when somebody else gives something to you and they believe in you and leave it with you, it makes you feel bigger and better. And I think Mary had something like that. And this happens even when we don't believe in ourselves. Did you hear Zechariah's story? So we read Zechariah's story. So Mary has this amazing response. The angel says to her, you're going to give birth. The child that you'll give birth to will be the son of the Most High God. And she says, I'm your servant. Do as you will. Zechariah, not so much. Zechariah gets this long spiel, this long explanation of what's going to happen. I don't know if you remember it. But the angel Gabriel tells him with great detail that there's going to be a son born to your wife Elizabeth, and the name will be John, and he's going to do all these things. And Zechariah, God bless Zechariah, says to the angel, how can I be sure of this? How can I be sure of this? Zechariah has little hope in himself and his wife. He's too old. I'm too old to do all those things that you've just said. And I think the angel Gabriel's flabbergasted at Zechariah's response. Listen to the words. I love the way that this angel Gabriel says, I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you good news. And this is what you do. Is you bring to me your lack of belief in yourself. And you know what is so interesting about Zechariah's story is that God hopes in Zechariah even when he doesn't have hope for himself. And despite Zechariah's small faith, God accomplishes his desires through him. So I want us to appreciate this morning that God is with us in the person of Jesus. And this is not just a comforting presence. that makes you feel like someone at least understands when you go through trouble. This is a powerful, empowering presence that will help you accomplish what God purposes. I've just found a few verses that remind us of how this works out, if you can read them, throughout the biblical history. So Israel, a small, insignificant nation, God picks them and says to them in Deuteronomy verse 5 and 6, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Israel, you have nothing to worry about in terms of accomplishing what I want you to do because God is with you. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9. Joshua is instructed to lead the people of Israel, a vast bunch of painful people, and to conquer the land. And God says to him, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you'll lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them." You don't have anything to worry about, Joshua, because I am with you. It's a big, probably impossible task, but I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. David says to his son Solomon, is about to become king and have a job to do, which is to build God's temple. He says these words, it's going to sound really familiar. "Be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord my God is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished." Sound familiar? David says, you don't have anything to worry about, Solomon. This is a big nation with many concerns, and you have a big job to do in building God of the universe's temple. But don't worry about it, because God is with you. These kinds of things, of knowing that God is with us, works out like this in Hebrews chapter 13, where the writer of the Hebrews says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, nor never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" See how that works out for the people who are followers of Jesus? Is that when you know that God is with you, that God will not leave you nor forsake you, you don't have to worry about the material things. But actually, you don't have to worry about anything or anyone, because God is with you. He's your helper. So, how do you hear this verse? When Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." That's a big job. All the nations, helping them to follow Jesus. "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The presence of God in our life is not just to comfort us when there's challenge. It's actually to empower us to do all that God has called us to do. As we look towards 2020, you have no idea what that year will bring. Just like you had no idea what this last year will bring. Those of us here who have some sense of power and control in our lives have probably already made our plans. Some of us might have even booked up the whole year with things to do. Others of us will just let it be. It's just going to roll on and happen. But I want us to know this. As you go into 2020, if you're a follower of Jesus, God is with you. God is with you. And that the efforts that you bring in life, when they're done in the purposes of God, are actually done with the power of God. You're not alone. You're not alone in the things that God wants you to do. And I want to say for us as a church, we have an impossible mission before us. I think Australia is about as hard as it's ever been to the gospel, the good news of Jesus. It has distorted views. The church has got a poor name. Who cares? God is with us. Frankly, I don't care about what's against us because I know who is for us. Is that not the posture that the people of God should have as we face 2020? As you come to New Year's Eve and you think about the year that's gone and the year that will be, is that not the posture that you should have? But just as the Hebrews writer says that the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Should that not be our posture as the people of God? I'm going to finish our time with prayer, and I've asked Kay and a few others to lead us. Let's pray.
We've brought many prayers up the front here this morning, prayers from our heart. Do you know, prayer is a privilege far more valuable than riches, fame, and power, that provides insight into the very purpose of life. That special privilege and freedom is to talk with the ruler of the universe. And how amazing is it that the God of the universe wants to spend time with us and develop a personal relationship. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. We're reminded of that in James. I'm going to invite Kingsley and Deborah to come up now and share some prayer time with us. So if you'd both like to come up together, thank you.
Let us pray. Holy, holy Father, we love you, we honour you and praise you, and we need you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for caring for us and your faithfulness. And thank you for Jesus. We are your church, and as we go into a new year, we ask you, Lord, to open our eyes to what you want us to see. Open our hearts to what you want us to feel, and help us to be stronger, more courageous, more passionate, to do the work that you want us to do for your kingdom. Lord, hold our hands. Every person who is seated here now, please hold their hand. Those who are not with us today, hold their hand as well. And lead us, Lord, into the new year for your glory and your kingdom. In the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.